I mentioned my stepdad, Joe. We've been going down to visit him week by week and popping in to see him. We were able to see him on Thursday. And unfortunately, I wish I could say he is doing better. He's getting strength back, but that's not the case. And so just continue to pray for him and my mom. I think, struggle for them. But his faith is strong as far as spiritually is concerned. But physically, he really wishes he could do more and it'd be less of a burden. He considers himself a burden on people, and we try to reassure him this is our greatest joy and my mom's greatest joy to, you know, serve him in whatever way is needed. But continue to lift them up in prayer. I appreciate that. You know, the church is not that over there, the building. The church is you all here. And I think if anything has proven that, that would be COVID, whether you're meeting in your cars or in this parking lot or in a small room or in a home, the church is still there. The church of God has always existed and will continue to exist and until the end of time and into eternity, actually, the church of God will continue, whether it's visible and meeting in comfortable buildings or meeting by a river or a stream. It makes no difference. You are the church. You are the church of God. As we look at the last miracle, last public miracle of Jesus recorded in the scriptures this morning, we're going to look at the account found in Mark. It's also found in Matthew and Luke. But we're going to look at that together this morning, and I'm going to ask that you bow your heads one more time with me as we pray and ask God's presence in a special way as we open His Word. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Scripture. We thank you for the stories that you have recorded, the acts and how you have worked in men and women's hearts down through history. Despite some men and women have received you, and we've seen positive results of that, and others, they have not received you, and we've seen the result of that, all recorded very honestly of how you deal with men and women in this world. We thank you for that record. As we look in Scripture this morning, Father, we just ask that your Spirit, who inspired these folks to write this down for us and to preserve it for us today, that you would be our teacher. We come before you, Father, each with our own specific needs and desires. You know where each of us are in our own hearts. And I just pray that your Spirit would do a work this morning that we so much need every morning. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter 10 is where Jesus is record of the last public healing miracle that he did. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 46 to 52. Is that, that wind is probably too loud in your on your radios. I could do this, but I don't think that I'm not sure how that would work. So Mark chapter 10 verses 46 to 52, and I'm just going to read this morning as we have been doing. And then we'll talk about this passage. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho and his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, He began to cry out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Rabbi, teacher, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So we looked last week, we looked at how Jesus was on his way back through Galilee and Samaria on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And along that passage, most people, as they approached Jerusalem, would go through Jericho. And that was no different for Jesus, this on his last approach to Jerusalem before the cross. And with him were disciples, and as he had made his way through Samaria and Galilee, apparently there was a great multitude that was following him there along the way. And as he went through Jericho, you remember he goes into Jericho, there was something that took place there too, right? Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who wanted to see Jesus. There was nothing more that Zacchaeus wanted, so much so that he would climb up in a tree so that he could at least just get a glimpse of Jesus as the crowd and the great multitude that followed Jesus into Jericho was precluding him, and those that gathered and accumulated as he came into Jericho. And so that's what took place. And then Zacchaeus, of course, he actually had dinner there with Zacchaeus. He went to his house that day. And apparently after that, as he was leaving Jericho, is when this took place with the blind Bartimaeus. It's interesting, Jericho means place of fragrance. It was a place often kind of looked as a refuge or a place, a resort, a place of repose that sometimes the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders would come to. Many of them had homes in Jericho. It was a little different. It was down on the plain there, just as it's coming down into the Jordan Valley. And it was a place where lots of commerce would come through. So lots of people would come and go through Jericho. There was a lot of trade that took place. And if someone was on their way to Jerusalem, they oftentimes would be via Jericho. And so that was Jesus. His last trip, his last approach to Jerusalem, where the next thing that would happen there, the events of Jerusalem would unfold, would be the Passion Week and the cross of Calvary. And Jesus was well aware of what was facing him as he was on his way back to Jerusalem. As he was making his way in this last approach, in this last ministry, reaching out all the different places where he had ministered before one last time, he very much knew what was coming as he was to go to Jerusalem and face the cross, that he would be rejected by the leaders and crucified there. He had been trying to tell the disciples. He had told them once, twice, three times of the coming death that he was going to be facing, trying to warn them, trying to prepare them. And I can't imagine that there was some weight on his heart. There was some pressure that was building as he was, as this was coming. And when you think about that, I don't know When you have a big event happening or a lot of pressure going on, do you find it easy during circumstances like that to lose sight of the details of some of the things that are around you or some of the other needs that might be considered small in comparing to what you are about to approach? And there is no question that the cross of Calvary was the biggest event of all history, and the Son of God was about to experience those things. Yet along the way, the need of a tax collector in a tree did not escape his notice. And as they left Jericho after the interaction with Zacchaeus, the need of a blind beggar on the street did not escape Jesus' notice. The weight of the cross of Calvary did not dissuade Jesus from the immediate needs that were around him. The Bible says, now they came, the people that came to there on the road that were there was Jesus, his disciples, and a great multitude. And they left this place of fragrance, Jericho, only to come and pass blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus, son of the most prized one. And so blind Bartimaeus comes up and doesn't come up. He hears, he asks, what is the commotion? The crowd is passing. He hears this big commotion. It's Jesus of Nazareth. It's the one that blind Bartimaeus knew much of. He had to know and hear of the miracles that had taken place thus far. And he, the last one before Jesus goes to the cross, is there yet one more miracle you could perform? And there was no question in blind Bartimaeus' mind. The answer to that question was absolutely yes. Son of David, he cried out, have mercy on me. And the crowd's response was, shh, shh, don't disturb him. He's got too much going on. You don't know what he's about to face. Just let it pass. Quiet, quiet, Bartimaeus. And even more loud, more determined was blind Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries out. So here the blind son of the highly prized one, the begging one, as they pass by, what was he hoping for? Food, coins, clothing. How about friendship? How about love? How about acceptance? And the commotion of the crowd wanted to quiet Bartimaeus. Oftentimes we can be caught in the crowd, wanting to quiet the voices of those in need, those crying out from help. Maybe it doesn't always take the form of a cry for Jesus, but yet it is still a cry for help, a cry for something. And he cried out all the more. He wouldn't be dissuaded. He wouldn't be stopped. And his intensity and his persistence implied that he knew who Jesus was. He knew that very much, that he was aware of what Jesus could do. He had helped other blind people, and he could help him. Sometimes our prayers and our pleas may lack that intensity that Bartimaeus had that day. One, we may not appreciate the deep sense of our true need and desperate situation of our heart like Bartimaeus did. And so our prayers may lack that intensity. Or number two, we may only expect a Band-Aid fix, a small fix, a few coins, something
for the person on the side of the road, much less the dramatic fix to receive his sight and change his whole life, that he would no longer need to beg on the side of the road. Sometimes our expectations are band-aid fixes, and so our prayers lack that intensity of Bartimaeus. And then sometimes we just don't believe that he can really do what we're asking him, because he never has in the past. And so our prayers can lack the intensity. May the Spirit of God reveal to us our true need in our hearts. May it reveal to us the true depths and extent of the healing that God can bring to our hearts, the restoration, the whatever it is. And may it bring to us, may the Spirit of God bring to us the assurance that He can absolutely do all that He has promised on our behalf. And as those understandings grow, the intensity of our prayers will grow proportionately. If Bartimaeus didn't cry out the second time when they told him to just be quiet, what would have happened? If he would have just said, oh, okay. If he didn't have that intensity, that conviction of knowing that his answer for healing was with Jesus, he would have gone home blind that day. He would have continued to have to beg along the side of the road. Not only was his sight restored that day, his need to continue to beg along the side of the road was vanished. He now was able to work and do the things that he wanted to do rather than to be trapped in a life of begging. Sometimes we struggle with something and just continue with that thing, hoping that by and by Jesus will take it away. If Jesus has not taken something away that we are struggling with, it's not because he's not willing. It's because we're not ready to give it up. Bartimaeus was ready to be done with blindness that day. What about you? What about me? What is it that we still struggle with? What malady do we still stumble day after day after day that keeps us on the road like Bartimaeus in the lowlands of Christian experience? Are you ready to be done? Bartimaeus cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let that be our cry as well. Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice that when Bartimaeus cried out, he's on the road to Calvary. He has this mission before him. And when Bartimaeus cried out, the Bible says this: Jesus stood still. He stopped. He turned. He looked. His complete attention was arrested and now focused on Bartimaeus. And that's how it will be for you and me when we call out to him. For whatever the need, whatever the situation, please know that you have his complete attention. He stands still for you. Not just for everybody else, not just for Bartimaeus, but he stands still for you when you call out. And so when Jesus called him, bring him, have him come. Notice how the multitude's tune changed. First they're telling him to be quiet, and now they say, oh, so nice. What are the words that he says there? be of good cheer. Okay, first they're saying, Bartimaeus, shut up. And now they say, be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. The crowd can be so fickle. The crowd can change its tune left and right, and they can say some very nice things, but at the very next moment can turn. It is so easy to get caught with the crowd. And notice the thing that Bartimaeus did. He said he threw aside his garment. He rose and he came to Jesus. Verse 50. Mark chapter 10. He threw aside his garment and rose again. What do you think that represents, throwing aside his garment? What do you think his garment was like, this blind man that sat on the side of the road day after day? Do you think it was nice and clean and pressed and washed? Or do you think it was, could we use the word, filthy? He removed his filthy garment. And he came to Jesus. You know the other thing that's really interesting? He's blind. How did he know which way to go? How did he know where exactly Jesus was standing in the midst of this crowd to come stand before him? Perhaps people guided him and helped him. It doesn't really say, but I like to think this, that he heard Jesus' voice and he knew exactly where to go, whether he could see with his eyes or not. Bartimaeus, removing his filthy garments, throwing them aside, comes to Jesus. Matthew's account of this miracle says that he, Jesus, was deeply moved. The verse in the Greek means it was like moved in his bowels. He felt it so strongly in his stomach. He was so moved. He felt so much love, concern, empathy, desire to see this son, Bartimaeus, of the highly prized one, to be in a much different situation than he was. Blind, covered with filthy garments, in the lowlands of experience on a road begging. He loved him, is what the Bible means when it says that. He had deep, genuine concern for Bartimaeus, despite the fact that Jesus himself was on his way to the cross of Calvary. And so Jesus asks him very simply, what do you want me to do? He's asked this question before. He asked it at to the man at the pool of Bethesda. And the answer is obvious. What do you mean, what do you want me to do? I want you to have mercy on me. I'm blind. And so he asked the same question to the man at the pool of Bethesda, and he asked the same question to you and to me today. Jesus doesn't ask the question because he doesn't know the answer. He asks the question because he wants us to make a commitment, to make a verbal commitment in our mind, in our heart, of what it is we really want him to do. Because Jesus knows that not everyone that comes to him really wants what he has to offer. They might like some things, but they don't always want. So Jesus asks the basic question, what is it that you want? He asks that question to you and me today. What is it? Think about it. What is it that you want God to do most for you in your heart and life right now? I'm sure it's different for all of us. And know that right now, you have His attention. That the Creator of all things is stopped and listened and focused on what you are saying in your heart right now. It is true, the Creator of all things loves and wants you. And He wants you to be well. He wants to restore you to that which what He has made you to be. And so He says simply when He tells him that I may receive my sight. He recognizes Jesus as a teacher, as someone to look up to, as someone that can actually bring healing to his body. Not just a teacher, but the teacher. And so Jesus' words are simply, your faith has made you well. Notice Jesus didn't say, I'm going to make you well, or I've made you well. He didn't even say, my Father in heaven has made you well. He said, your faith has made you well. What we believe in our heart, what we really understand to be true, and what we put our full confidence and trust in has everything to do with what's going to happen in our life. Who we put our faith in, who we put our trust in. I don't care if you're talking about the hardest atheist on the planet. Everyone has put their faith and trust in something or someone. Where have you put your faith and trust? Because that faith and trust is what will make you well. You've heard the Bible verse. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. What you think to be true about God, about yourself, about life and situations in life and things that you deal with, will ultimately translate into how you experience whatever it is. God, yourself, your spouse, the events in life and things around you. I'm not saying like it's your mental decisions are the thing that actually make it happen. But your mental decision by how where you place your faith allows God to work in your life. Ultimately, God is the one that is going to heal Bartimaeus, isn't he? God is the one that's going to restore his sight. God is the one that's going to work in your life and my life. That's absolutely true. And our faith, or our lack of faith, is the only thing that can yield to allow him or stop to prevent him from doing that which he so desires. And immediately the Bible says he received his sight. And notice the thing that it says there, that he followed Jesus. As soon as he could see his sight, the only thing he wanted to do was to follow Jesus. You saw that with the demoniac, right? Who wanted to go in the boat with them, and Jesus sent them back to prepare as a missionary for the next time they would be back there. Bartimaeus wanted to follow Jesus on the road. Now the question and the thing to recognize here is, what road was Jesus on? He was on the road to Jerusalem and to the cross. And when Bartimaeus received his sight, he was willing to follow Jesus on the road to the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." He said in Genesis, "Let there be light." It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The first thing that Bartimaeus saw when his eyes were opened was what? The face of Jesus. And there in the face of Jesus, shown without any word, without any Bible study, without any text, he could see on the face of the Son of God the self-sacrificing love of God, the glory of God shown. And as Jesus on the road to Calvary, not even concerned about the things which he was facing, but was concerned about the needs of Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus and every single person along the way, completely focused on their needs and not his own, was expressed the self-sacrificing love of God. And on the road to Jerusalem for the last time, and there before the leaders of Jerusalem and being falsely accused and all those things, and ultimately going to the cross of Calvary, we see the greatest, clearest picture of the self-sacrificing love of God from our vantage point in this sin-darkened world. The road to the cross, the road of self-denial and self-sacrifice. And that is the road that Bartimaeus, when he received his sight, was willing to go, was willing to follow. That's what it means to say, "Hey, do you want to follow Jesus?" It means I am willing to follow in the footsteps of Christ, of not I, but Christ. Galatians 2:20 is one of the clearest summary passages for the entire gospel. When Paul says, "I have been," let me just not misquote it, but actually read it. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God." Following Jesus is simply yielding our life to him and allowing to live his life in us. A life for others, a life because of others, and a life not for ourselves. And when our eyes are open, like Bartimaeus's were on that road, that day, we will do the same. We will follow Jesus on the road to the cross, the road of self-sacrifice and others-centeredness. Now, with his sight restored and light shining into his heart, he now had that ability to follow on that road. Do you want that in your heart and your life today? Jesus said in Luke 9:23-24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is the invitation. This is the call. This is the result of the healing that takes place in our heart. This is the ultimate healing that Jesus wants for each one of us, is that is the complete surrender of our heart to a life of giving for others. So my invitation to each of you this morning is to be a follower of Jesus, one of his disciples on the road, and like Bartimaeus, to follow him on that road to the cross. Is that your desire to do that this morning? I don't know where you are. I don't know what specific malady Bartimaeus's was blindness. I don't know what specific malady each of us have this morning, but he is inviting us to recognize him as the one that can bring complete healing to any and all, and to lay aside those garments that we often can cover ourselves with, and to come to him exposed just as we are, and to simply ask him, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he asks you what it is that you want him to do, just be honest. Right now, in the quietness of your heart, ask him, what do you want him to do? And I assure you, you have his complete attention right now. The one who can bring healing to each of our hearts. Let's pray to him this morning as we close. Father, creator of all things, maker of all things, the one who loves us more than you loved yourself, willing to give your most precious and prized, Jesus, for the sins of the world. Father, you did this not simply just to cause a transaction of sin and covering, but to invite us to newness of life. Father, it's our desire to follow you with all our hearts, and we recognize that without you, we can't do that. So in the quietness of our heart, Father, we've come before you with nothing, removed our garments, for you see us how we really truly are. And ask you to restore us, Father, to make us men and women who can rightly represent you, to cause us to be men and women that you would be proud to have stand by us as your representatives. Forgive us, Father, for being less than that. Restore our sight. Clothe our nakedness. Help us to see. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Wish all of you a blessed Sabbath. And I encourage you to grab a snack pack to share with someone today. It's not much, but it's something. And we just ask you to go with God today.